radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, February 20th of 2024. If you had a three-day weekend, I hope you had yourself a wonderful time. A lot of stuff to dive into on today's show. The Astros are really in the thick of spring training. We've got a bunch of updates from West Palm Beach. We've got to talk about a big game that took place last night. But in case you were living under a rock, yeah, there have been some changes here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I'm not going to lie, bummed out about them. This is a brutal, brutal industry at times, and it sucks to see people let go for something that wasn't in their control at all. I think that Josh Beard, who's been my brother in radio for a couple of years, is awesome. I think the show that he and Michael Connor were doing together was a very good one, and Andrew Carlson, the producer, all three of whom I consider friends. It sucks to see them go, among others. I feel very fortunate to still have a job. There's a part of me that wants to play How Long Will They Mourn Me by Tupac, just thinking about all the bodies that I've seen done in by the radio industry in my career. I did want to acknowledge that it happened. I think we here at ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and Gal Media were different than the corporate conglomerates that we compete against, who just expect you to forget about these people as if they're dead after they take them out back. It was a budget thing, and we really do appreciate everybody who has been sticking with us on this station for all of this time. I really appreciate every single person that has been listening to me. And that's the extra little development here. So I'm about to go on a little three-day vacation to Mexico to go hang out with one of my best friends who's getting married, really excited for it. But as you guys know it, this is going to be the final edition of the Paul Gallant Show featuring just Paul Gallant. I am not leaving the station. We got updates to come, but wanted to fill that in with you. Sean Mapes and I will still be working together in some capacity. Very thrilled about that. Sean, happy Tuesday. We did a show yesterday. We did not have Monday off because we grind here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, but how are you on this wonderful Tuesday morning?
Doing all right, doing all right. Obviously, second everything you said about Andrew, Michael Connor, Josh Beard. Yeah, it sucks, man.
It sucks. That's really all we can say. I know that we're going to do our damnedest to keep people listening, to put out an entertaining product. The show must go on, you know? It sucks, though. And that's all I really got. So, probably talk about this a little bit more at 11:45, but if you want to jump aboard, we will discuss all things with you today. 713-780-3776. We got to really make this the most interactive edition of the Paul Gallant Show, seeing as this is the final one. But we got to start by talking about our beloved Cougs. Did you see what they did last night? They took out Iowa State, got vengeance for their loss earlier this year in Ames, Iowa, 73-65, they took them down. I have been of the belief that going into this year, that iron truly sharpens iron, and the Big 12, one of the best conferences in college basketball, maybe the best conference in college basketball, joining the Big 12 was the best thing that Houston could do when it comes to actually giving them a fighting chance at winning a national title. Now, it's not to say that they've never had a chance to do it before. Obviously, they made a Final Four a couple of years ago. But I think that when you are battle tested in college basketball, that's what really gives you the ability to go the full, you know, tournament where you got to win six times to get the Nets cut down for an actual national title, to hold up a trophy. It's really hard, and it's something the Cougs have never done, despite one of the greatest athletes, if not the greatest athlete in Houston history, because he played at the University of Houston and then for the Rockets. He probably does have a leg up on Jose Altuve, but Hakeem Olajuwon was never able to do it. The Cougs have had some great teams in their history, but they've never quite been able to win the national title, despite, I believe, 5 Final Four appearances. So to see them do what they did last night against Iowa State, who's got one of the best defenses in all of college basketball, really has me giddy about their chances this year. Iron sharpening iron. Well, here is all the iron that the Houston Cougars have been, I guess, sharpening themselves with over the course of the year. 2 games against Iowa State, who has, out of nowhere, become maybe the 3rd best team in the Big 12. Remember the first time that these two teams played? I don't think we were looking at Iowa State as a serious threat in the Big 12. You were probably looking at them as a good team. They've historically been a good team. But you split games with them. You beat then number 25 Texas Tech, 77-54. You beat then number 21 BYU, 75-68. You've swept Texas, and you still got a couple of games left. A rematch against Kansas, who you lost to not too long ago, but that was in Lawrence, Kansas. And then you play Baylor on Saturday. They are currently 11th ranked. All of it adds up to, I think, the Cougars potentially having their best opportunity to win a national title entirely because they will be tried and true by tournament time. And it was interesting watching the end of last night's game because Kelvin Sampson, head coach of the Houston Cougars, joined Scott Van Pelt on Van Pelt's late night edition of SportsCenter. And he broke character. If you've watched Cougars basketball games before, you know that Kelvin Sampson has a great deal of respect for Jamal Shedd, who is the Cougars' best player. But at the same time, you will see multiple moments in a game where it seems like they are perhaps, you know, just getting on each other's case. I would go back to a game, I think it was against Texas a couple of weeks ago, where down the stretch, it really looked like they were having some sort of disagreement. But we know Sampson is a hard ass. If you've been going to his practices, Jeremy Brandon will tell you all about it. This is a guy who is one of the hardest coaches in college basketball, and there's a reason that the Cougars have been such a tough program over the last couple of years. But it makes it so different when you see what Kelvin Sampson had to say about Jamal Shedd after the game. He called him the best point guard in the country, saying further, "I wouldn't trade Jamal Shedd for any point guard in America. He is what we stand for. He has a tremendous mother and father. He's going to graduate with a 3.84 GPA. He's one of those kids you want your kid to grow up and be like. He's a winner." And he went further to say that he wishes that more people were talking about Jamal Shedd as one of the best point guards in the country. And last night, I mean, this was a game where he truly proved it. So he played 37 minutes and 39 seconds, scored 20 of his 26 points in the second half. In that second half, he was 5 of 7 from the field, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. And this was all against the number 3 defense in the country. And on top of that, Houston was dealing with some foul trouble because LJ Cryer and Juwan Roberts, they were basically playing very little in this one due to that foul trouble. And Cryer really couldn't get anything going from a shooting perspective. And at a point in the game where it was close, 4-point game, Jamal Shedd took over, he had a crossover, stepped back for a 3, drove inside for another basket, hit a bunch of free throws down the stretch. This guy is damn good. He is battle seasoned as far as college basketball players go, especially with all the one-and-dones that you see out there. You would think that having a guy like this as their best player gives Houston a huge advantage going into the tournament, as does, of course, having gone up against all of these good teams. 20 wins in a row, by the way, at Fertitta Center. There is a part of me that wishes I had gone. There is another part of me that actually felt weirdly superstitious, thinking that, you know what, maybe maybe I don't go to this one. Because the last time I was at there for a top 10 matchup featuring the Cougars and somebody else against Alabama, they ended up losing. So I thought to myself, all right, maybe I don't go to this one. But I wish I had gone. The atmosphere looked absolutely electric, much like it was for the Alabama game. I saw a bunch of people on my Instagram story, on Instagram stories that were posting about it. I was like, oh, God, should have gone. Should have gone. But our beloved Cougs have another dub. And I believe that they are as ready as they're going to be for the NCAA tournament. So you want to weigh in on that? 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. College basketball is getting really fun right now. More coaches keep melting down. You had a fight last night. And we're going to attempt to break the internet by playing a game of what did you actually hear here? It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Cool.
Jack Burton. Me.
Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
College basketball is getting fun. If you listened to yesterday's show, we talked about a couple of rants, specifically one by Rick Pitino, where he basically called all his players unathletic and slow and said that St. John's has terrible facilities. Leave it to Rick Pitino, who is truly one of the more unlikable figures in basketball history, whether in the NBA being the whiny runner of the Celtics into the ground that he was, or, of course, at the college level, doing some frowned upon things. Pitino was asked about his comments yesterday, and you know what? Bless this man's heart. He stayed true to himself, which is all you can do in this little thing that we like to call life.
I don't think they move well laterally. I don't think they're going to pick it up in the next week. I think they're slow laterally. I mean, Sean Conway gives you everything he can. He's slow laterally. About five guys are slow laterally. Even the Celtics, when we lost, I've enjoyed every minute being a Boston Celtic coach. Didn't like the fact that we lost in that following year, but this has been the most unenjoyable experience I've had since I've been coaching.
You have any second thoughts of taking this job?
No, not at all. It's not St. John's. It's my team. I think they're very respectful. They hear, but they don't listen. It's taken me a month to get them to throw bounce passes. Actually, 2 months to throw bounce passes. Just thinking of getting ready for Georgetown because Georgetown could definitely beat us.
I can't stand him. I truly can't. But I'll give him credit. He doubled down. He didn't walk anything back. He just did what a despot does at the college basketball program, even though being the head coach at St. John's is equivalent to being the dictator of Luxembourg, which is like this little tiny nothing country that I think is on the border of France and Germany. Yeah, I don't know. But leave it to Rick to bring up his time with the Celtics. Kiss my ass, Rick. You ruined the Celtics. My God, what a disaster he was in Boston.
He's saying that this is worse than that.
Yes. I don't think that's possible, Rick. That's not possible. That was one of the worst things that anyone has ever seen.
They're 6-9 in the Big East.
I don't think that is
Georgetown good. Might beat them, which is a funny shot to throw in at the end.
Right.
It's like more of an insult to Georgetown than to you.
But I respect the college basketball coaches, Sean, just not caring. Because that gives you something to talk about and listen to before the tournament. Penny Hardaway is the head coach of Memphis. I guess they suck too. Here's what he had to say about yet another loss for the Memphis Tigers.
Losing like this, this is terrible. Not competing at all. I don't know what's going on, but he's not competing.
Is that? I mean, there was the broadcast team on TV that brought that up, questioning effort, everything.
Yeah, it's fair. Y'all saw the same game we saw. I just don't understand why it's not competing. Every game we play is for our life, to make it to the NCAA tournament. That's how I view coming in every game.
He also sounds like he's having a horrible time. All the college coaches are miserable. You got Tom Izzo every year. There's at least three Tom Izzo stories. How can I reach these kids? And you will see the exact same thing from most of the hard-o coaches out there. Kelvin Sampson, for all his credit, Sampson's bitching about the team is very minimal, but the coaches across college basketball, Sean, it feels like it's more there than anywhere else, where they are just constantly complaining about their job situation, their players, etc.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Kelvin Sampson, when he will call out players from time to time, but maybe it's just the benefit of he's not under 500 in conference, or like Memphis is 7-6 in conference play in the American, where it's like, well, he's actually the number two team in the country, have won 20 straight home games. So it feels more constructive, but that might just be like results based, where it feels more constructive because they actually win, unlike all these other guys who are complaining about their team. But yeah, it is a weird thing where Sampson seems like he's the hardest on his players, but at least publicly,
you don't hear it.
You don't hear it as much.
Right.
You still hear it from time to time, but not as much. It's mostly they just lose so little. He doesn't have a lot of time to do it.
If you go to practice, I'm told that you really see Kelvin Sampson for who he is, but in front of the microphone, not quite as fun. You know what else was fun last night? So, again, we're focusing mostly on the Cougars and the iron sharpening the iron, you know, because they're looking very, very good as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season. But there was a battle in a college basketball game between Texas A&M Commerce, classic Aggies, and Incarnate Word. This is how the brawl sounded like for two extremely uncomfortable play-by-play folks.
Oh, no, this is not good.
Not good.
This is really not good. We've got punches being thrown. This is really bad. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, full team fight. Coaches in the middle of it. Wouldn't be surprised. Someone got a nick on the face there.
Nick on the face?
This is not what you want to see after
that close of a game.
It has been a great game. We've got,
if it was the worst game, though, this would be fun.
Everything going on right now.
Oh, yeah?
We still have guys running after people.
That's the best part about this. If you watch the video,
someone in the crowd was hurt and hit.
They were all just moving as like a giant group / crowd to every corner of the court.
Young girl.
It's like 50 people on this tiny
court. We got a manager that has blood on his face.
More people on the court than in the stands.
Guys that need to get to the locker room.
Everyone's still rallying here.
Rallying? What does that mean?
Alex Anderson.
No.
Ooh.
We need to get this. We need to get this settled.
Do we?
We finally have gotten some people to the locker room. So,
not enough energy in this call. I gotta say, not enough energy.
I wonder what they're brought, because obviously it was Texas A&M Commerce versus Incarnate Word.
Mm-hmm.
So this is on ESPN3 only, and it's basically two like volunteers as the as the play-by-play and color commentary. I wonder where they're set up in this tiny stadium. Are they like 6 feet away from all of these guys throwing punches?
I think if they were 6 feet away, they might have been whispering it because they don't want to all of a sudden get to the hurricane. To the tornado.
That's actually what it was like. It was like in the cartoons when there's like a dust up and there's like clouds and all you see are arms and legs and like people's teeth flying out of it. Like that's what it looked like on video.
One of the funny things, Sean, just about play-by-play people in general is, for the most part, how most of them can't adapt to wacky stuff. And of course, you have to go through it once or a couple of times, but I'll say this about play-by-play only folks. I will say this about TV anchors and reporters. improvisation, not their strong suit. Not their strong suit. And there's nothing wrong with that, but this could have made their careers, and they failed. They failed.
Oh, my God.
Right. I mean, to say, like, this isn't good, how many times can you tell me this isn't good? How many times over the course of this fight can you tell me, oh, I wish this wasn't happening? How about let's get some play-by-play of the punches? Because we can't really see. It's just a big old mosh pit, like a Travis Scott concert, okay? Let's see what's actually happening in the brawl. Who was throwing the punches? Who wasn't throwing the punches? Who was getting hit in the face? Mm-hmm. Don't bring me down talking about the small child that apparently got into the fight, which I'm not even sure happened. But, hey, let's focus on the fight and make yourself a career here, guys. You could have been calling games that aren't Texas A&M Commerce, which, no offense, is apparently a real school, or Incarnate Word, which I'm sure there are six of. There must be six Incarnate Words.
A lot of Incarnate Words.
Yeah. There's got to be tons of them.
Full sentences of Incarnate.
Right, exactly.
So many words.
So more fun in college basketball? This is something I'm going to leave up for you guys. You know how there's sometimes internet debates over, hey, what color is this dress? Or, hey, did they say Yanny or Laurel? Which I do not understand how your ears can hear two different things there. But okay, I guess people can. Tell me what you heard during this play-by-play of an LSU women's basketball game.
As a coach, I say, bitch, stay in this ball game. Stay excited. Stay enthusiastic. Pull your team through. I don't care if the officials are telling you to sit down.
So she's got a bit of a drawl. Did she say bitch or did she say bench? 713-780-3776 to call in to text in. Did she say bitch or did she say bench?
Bitch.
I don't know. I saw people afterwards, Sean, Southern splaining that, yes, she was saying bench. But I kind of want to know if it was possible that she said bitch, because bitch would have fit there.
Bitch.
And it would be kind of funny to see a coach in 2024 giving zero Fs and telling a team of women that they're bitches.
And just like, because also she's saying, bitch, sit down.
Right.
Is what she's saying.
Right. Because it's like, bench, get in this game, or bitch, get in this game. So you guys determine that. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The last show ever, at least as currently constructed. I'm not going anywhere. Up next, also, we got the 10-minute drill. Oh, God, it's just so good to see other teams dealing with quarterback issues. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
For the most part, I believe that most people think that she said bench. Bench. Bitch. Bench. Bitch. But I don't know. So we're going to leave that for you to determine all show long. Sean, can we hear it one more time?
Bitch.
Did she say bench or bitch? This is just
bitch.
A random broadcaster whose name we don't know. We don't want to get him fired.
Yeah, because if she did say the wrong one,
she might be out.
Yeah.
She might be out. Or she might be coaching a college basketball team really soon.
Yeah.
I got to say, it does seem like the women's college basketball players listen a lot more than the men's basketball players.
Also, you could tell me that this is a direct quote from LSU basketball coach, women's basketball coach Kim Mulkey. Like, I guarantee you she's called her players the B word before. Well,
what word hasn't she called her players?
I'd put it on my life that
Karen.
She's done that.
She just looks like a Karen.
So this might be
a good-looking Karen, but a Karen nonetheless.
This might be a direct quote.
Shout out to Kim Mulkey's fashion. As a metrosexual, yes. I really appreciate it. All right, guys. quarterbacks. It sucks when you don't have them. Obvious statement, but I love looking at other quarterback situations across the National Football League. Of course, I don't look at the Patriots one because I don't want to cry. But the other quarterback situations and the issues that are currently happening on certain with certain franchises, it brings a little twinkle to my eye. The Minnesota Vikings have a tough decision to make about Kirk Cousins. They are saying they are not willing to give him a fully guaranteed contract this time around. Credit to Kirk Cousins, who got all of these fully guaranteed contracts and honestly played well enough to merit getting those 100% guaranteed contracts. He has never been bad. You always feel like you can do a little bit better. He, for me, is like if I'm on a dating app and I match with someone and she's great and awesome personality, smart, but like maybe the donk ain't popping, or like maybe like not like the most athletic person. Like, so I'm always thinking I can do a little bit better, when in reality, I probably can. That's how quarterback situations are, and that's how a little game that we like to call dating apps are.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is like the worst quarterback you can be and still get 100% guaranteed deals. Where he's like, he's good enough, but he also, you know, fourth down for the season will throw 5 yards short of the sticks. Mm-hmm. Like, he will also do that. Like, there's a reason that he's not one of the truly greats, but he is certainly good enough. Also, I get why the Vikings aren't going to give a 35-year-old coming off an Achilles a fully guaranteed contract for more than 1 year.
I get it, too. But it's crazy that against all, I guess, advice that was thrown by we pundits his way. Like, no, you got to
conventional thinking.
Take the biggest contract you can get. You got to protect yourself. Cousins just kept on taking these short-term guaranteed deals, and this is the year that he finally got hurt. That dude is laughing all the way to the bank on that front, and props to him, because he's one of those quarterbacks where, especially with the way that the rules are, which, yes, are geared to protect quarterbacks like Tom Brady, when you're a pocket passer like that, you're not really putting yourself in harm's way all that much, and assuming you are decent at turtling, you should be able to protect yourself and continue to get these fully guaranteed contracts, which leads to the next question. Would you rather have on a fully guaranteed contract for next year Kirk Cousins or Deshaun Watson?
Oh, Kirk Cousins.
I would do.
1,000%.
I would do.
I would rather have Kirk Cousins on Deshaun Watson's contract than Deshaun Watson. Like, not just for next year. Just sign me up for 5 years.
I think I would too. Now, I don't feel a little gross about the fact that he's the starting quarterback given all the stuff that took place here. But the other dynamic is, and this is a report from Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, Deshaun Watson is set to begin throwing again next month, could do so towards the beginning of the month in just a few weeks after a fractured right shoulder socket during the Browns' Week 10 victory over Baltimore. He has played in just 12 games for the Browns the last 2 years. They were 5-1 in the games that he started. One was effectively won by PJ Walker. There was one game where he finished the game very strong, and I think he completed all of his passes in a row. And then it was announced that he's done for the year. I am curious if he's ever going to be good again. I don't think we know the answer to that. I think David Mulugeta deserves a lot of credit for somehow finding a way to get a guy this controversial, all of that guaranteed money. Maybe you're not the biggest David Mulugeta fan, but there is no denying that that guy pulled off the heist of the century to this point, because Watson has played in 12 games due to suspension and injury for Cleveland. And the Browns made the playoffs without Watson, which lends itself to the belief that, all right, maybe the guy ain't good.
Yeah, I mean, if the whole reason he wasn't good last year and wasn't good this year until the very end, like literally the last half that he played, is that, well, you know, he hasn't played in any games since 2020. How will, like, the offseason make it any better?
Yeah.
Like, if that's the belief, is that he has to play in games to get better, then he won't be good until the next time he can play some games and get into a rhythm. So you're already, it's just a crazy, crazy situation. Crazy that he just, like, stopped being good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
he was people were like him or Mahomes.
We were saying this about him when he was the quarterback of a 4-win team.
They're wrong, but they said that about him.
They did.
They did. Like, he was in that conversation. He was in, like, whatever top five list you wanted to put together. He was in there.
Thing I got crushed for when I was over at the flagship for being early with saying, like, Watson is not Patrick Mahomes. He's just not. And people got so pissed at me. You don't know that. Yeah, I do. I have eyes. I have the sight.
Especially because that first Mahomes year, Mahomes threw for like 5,000 yards and
so good.
50 touchdowns.
And it was nothing against Watson. People took it as an insult against Watson. And it's really funny. Every now and then I go back to that tweet that I put out there and see some of the really pissed off people responding to me.
You should just retweet them.
I at some point I might. I might.
Just randomly.
You know what? Like while I'm in Mexico, like drinking a margarita, I'm smoking a cigar, I'm going to go and just retweet random responses to that tweet.
Speaking of that tweet, I remember when I think it was after his rookie year, it was someone was like he's thrown for 58% of Troy Aikman's career yards mm-hmm. in like 30% of the game,
and that's why that's why Aikman said get back to me when he's got three rings,
and how everyone retweeted that after the Super Bowl when he got to three rings.
Oh, boy.
In 6 years,
and that's just after the three. Honestly, Troy should delete it. He should delete it.
I respect him not deleting
it. I do too, but he should delete it.
He should delete it. That's a low stakes version of what you're doing. It's just retweeting all the H-Town critics that are like, ooh.
Yeah.
No. Watson is better.
Yeah, may as well. Just flood the timeline with goofy stuff, you know. More terrible quarterback situations. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are expected to use the franchise tag on safety Antoine Winfield and not Baker Mayfield. Well, can't wait for him to sign with the New England Patriots. I cannot wait. Super Bowl. Baker Mayfield got to the divisional round of the playoffs. He did. You know? Was it his fault that they lost in the divisional round of the playoffs? I can't say. I can't. They got close, right?
Yeah, until he threw two interceptions.
Hey, but
who's to say who's
you know what? Maybe this offseason, if he works with a few more Zins in his mouth than this time around.
Adds a couple chips to the shoulder.
Hell yeah. More chips on the shoulder. By the way, I saw a random video that went viral of a man who is just throwing Zin pouches in an anthill. And let's just say the ants aren't doing so hot. They've become nicotine addicts. It's pretty funny. All right. One last quarterback situation to discuss, and hopefully Joe George has not offed himself seeing this one, but the Bears are saying, quote, we will have a quarterback plan in place by next week. Justin Fields, meanwhile, has unfollowed them, and the Bears also want historic compensation for the number one overall pick. Well, you did that last year, and you got pretty good compensation for it. I think if I'm the Bears, I am just going to consider myself lucky for being in this situation again. I am imagining that the reason that they are saying they will have a quarterback plan in place by next week has as much to do with Caleb Williams potentially not wanting to be a Chicago Bear as it does with something along the lines of, like, oh, well, hey, we're actually thinking about bringing Justin Fields back. Here's the thing with Fields, and it's one of the trickier dynamics, I think, with some of the quarterbacks out there. People really want to like Justin Fields. And I suppose I'm going to sound a little bit like Rush Limbaugh when he got canceled for what he said on NFL Countdown about Donovan McNabb and saying that he won't, like, a lot of people want a black quarterback to be successful. I will say that publicly it felt like there were a lot of people who were maybe rooting for Justin Fields more than correctly guessing that he was going to be good this past season. And I don't know what was attached to it, but I do feel that was a strange dynamic with Fields. He's fun to watch. There's no denying it. But this is a guy that relies far more on his athleticism. I feel like there is not much of a discrepancy between he and Daniel Jones, and take that as a shot against Daniel Jones, or take that as a compliment to Justin Fields, or vice versa. I don't know. I don't care. I think they're very similar players.
I think both fan bases, or both people who like both those quarterbacks, would both take that as an insult.
They both would.
They both would be like, that's so insulting.
But they're two quarterbacks who are very athletic, and their athleticism actually gives them a chance to stay in this league. But do you really want to have them on a 17 Sunday a year basis? No, not really. You could do better.
What's nuts about Justin Fields is that he was good throwing the ball at Ohio State, and he was a better quarterback back at Ohio State than CJ Stroud was.
That is pretty crazy.
And now look at where they are in their careers. It's just, it is just absolutely nuts.
CJ Stroud is him.
Yeah. By the way, I think the Bears having a plan by next week. Would it shock you if they just announced that Justin Fields has been traded next week?
No, not at all.
Like that feels like that's what the plan is to trade Justin Fields.
Steelers should make the move. He would be fun on the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that's like not in the top 10 who needs a quarterback, which is a lot of teams.
It is.
They should at least, you know, see what it takes.
Got to roll the dice.
Yeah, because he is a worthwhile dice roll, I do feel like.
If you're
he's
in a
still
spot,
young.
Exactly. And if you're in a spot where you can't draft a quarterback this year, is it really going to hurt you that much to trade a second or a third round pick for Fields? He's not worth a first round pick. No. Anyone thinking he's worth a first round pick is crazy.
If the Bears were offered a first round pick, they would have already traded.
They would have traded him already. You're right. Paul Gallant Show, that's Sean Mapes behind the glass. It's the last Just Us show. And then I'm going off to Mexico. Will I return? Will I be decapitated by the cartel? That would be kind of funny if it happened. I know I'm putting that out there.
Okay, I'm glad you said it.
Listen, if it happens, you can play this audio. I think it would be really funny. It's like, oh, classic Paul.
Make sure to retweet those Watson takes before you get on the plane.
Before that happens, you know what? Tips for Mexico, okay? As we continue the last edition of the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't worry, I'm not leaving the station. Coming up next, a key Houston Texan is telling them exactly what they need to do in free agency. What am I talking about? I don't know. I guess you're going to have to stick around and find out. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
There's a shortage of perfect breasts in this world. It would be a pity to damage yours.
Oh, Wesley, darling!
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you have tips for Mexico, for Cabo, where I am off to tomorrow morning, please let me know. Staying at an all-inclusive resort. I have never done that before. Also, I don't speak a lick of Spanish. And one of my friends actually texted me this today. And I'm not going to lie. It's not something that I liked. Because I joked saying, I'm never coming back to this friend. And he says, yeah, because the mafia will chop your head off. I know. It's dark, man. It's dark.
I like how that's like something people think can happen to you. Like to you specifically, Paul Gallant. Like, oh, who's...
Well, do I blend in Mexico? Would I blend in?
No.
Why wouldn't I blend in?
Well, you'd blend into the all-inclusive resort, probably.
I don't even know about that. I'm so white. I'm like just a shining beacon of like, hey, rob me, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
My elaborate Hawaiian shirts.
And you know, they can smell the private school on you.
Oh, 100%.
And so they're like, huh.
Look at this cake eater.
Get some money for this guy.
Ooh,
little do
kidnap
they know.
Me. Yeah, yeah. Sorry to make jokes about that.
A condo and a cat.
But I'm literally, yeah. I mean, listen, I got equity.
Yeah.
I got equity.
I don't know. Maybe you step on the wrong guy's shoes at a bar. And then.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's. I'm going to have to not be an asshole when I step off down on Skid Row or whatever it is. Squid Row. I don't know what it's called. There's some bars in Cabo. I don't know. I don't know anything about anything, you know? Paul Gallacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got my guy, Q Dog, on the line with some advice about going to Mexico. What's up, Q Dog?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, first and foremost, Cabo is a pretty nice area. You don't need to worry about speaking Spanish because a lot of people there speak English.
Oh, that's nice.
Also, the beaches there at Cabo are okay. There are certain places where you can't swim.
Right.
They have signs everywhere. And if you get a chance and you want to do a little excursion, there's a place called La Paz about 2 hours away. I highly recommend it if you get a chance to head out there.
All right, Q-Dog. I appreciate that advice. I'm not going to lie. Anything that's 2 hours away from the resort sounds like it's just a ploy to get me kidnapped. So, listen, Q-Dog, we appreciate the advice, but if I'm going 2 hours away,
Hello, senor. I'm looking for La Paz.
Q-Dog sounds like he wants some, like, he's like, oh, I don't know if I want Paul Gallant to be a part of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 going forward.
Ulterior motives?
He's, there's an ulterior motives here. Like, oh, Paul just disappeared into the jungle and never came back. It'll be like that one guy in the Sandlot. I love the end of the Sandlot, how they talk about, like, hey, here's what everybody's doing. And then one of the guys, he just got lost in the 60s. It's like, oh, so he did drugs, huh? That's a cute way to say that in a kid's TV show. It's not quite at the end of Stand By Me. Have you heard the end of Stand By Me? We might have to play the clip at the very end of Stand By Me, where he does like a little post epilogue. And then all of a sudden he says, like, that was the best summer of my life with my friend. 2 days ago, he got stabbed in the neck and died. Not kidding. This is the most abrupt end to a movie ever. Stand By Me. Thanks, Stephen King. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. We're running a little bit behind because your boy has a little more ADD than normal. Is Paul Gallant already in Mexico mode, a la Doc Rivers calling out his players on the Milwaukee Bucks last week? Am I effing softest show at the station, for like Ime Udoka said about his Rockets? I don't know. But it is time to focus on the Houston Texans because there's some decisions that they're going to have to make very, very soon. Let's continue Texans free agency watch. Got Houston on my back because I love the city I'm from. Hands up if you feel that. Houston Texans free agency watch.
Money does buy happiness when you give it away.
2024.
Y'all know what time it is. Texans
War! Okay. Titus Howard is supposed to be the Texans' right tackle. And yet, the man consistently finds himself playing guard, despite that big extension he signed last year. An unfortunate season for him last year. Began the season injured. Ended the season injured. He has updated his Twitter bio. All caps. Right tackle only for the Houston Texans. He is reminding the Houston Texans what they need to do in free agency. Now, I'm not one of those people who's going to go to Pro Football Focus and say, these interior offensive linemen are good, these aren't. I don't want to draw the ire of George Fant, who got annoyed with an article like that. Pro Football Focus, I do not believe to be a very effective way to measure trench play. I just don't. I think Lance Zierlein knows what he's talking about when it comes to studying offensive linemen. I think very few other people actually know what they're talking about. Brian Baldinger might. But it's a very nuanced thing, I think, to study and know what a player is supposed to do and to know how a player should be better. So I'm not going to BS you and say that I know who's good and who's bad as far as free agent offensive linemen go. But if the Houston Texans go after anybody in free agency, more importantly than a defensive tackle, more importantly than a wide receiver, a safety, I do think interior offensive line help, a veteran, is maybe the most important thing that they need to do. They were hit by an unbelievable amount of bad luck when it comes to injuries on the offensive line last year. The odds are that won't happen again, but you just need depth on the interior because with Scott Questenberry going down, with the uncertainty around Kenyon Green and everybody else who they threw into the mix in the interior, you can do better. So what I'm looking for, reasonably priced veterans who have played in a Shanahan-style offense. And the good news about that, because back in the day, it was actually tricky to find guys who could do the zone blocking that Mike Shanahan's offense wanted. Kyle Shanahan's dad. I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan now. God, I feel old saying that. it was very difficult to find guys who could fit that scheme for Gary Kubiak in a post-Mike Shanahan world. It was a lot easier to find guys who have played in a system familiar with that these days. So there should be options, which means that they maybe won't have to spend that much money. But I'm not going to tell you whether or not the signing's good or bad. I'm just going to say I hope that they bring in somebody at that position that has played in the Shanahan system before. And there you go. We'll continue our free agency watch at 11:30. There's something that the Houston Texans are reportedly considering that I don't think is the best. But up next, we go to West Palm Beach and continue our countdown to the Astros regular season opener. New news when it comes to a Kyle Tucker extension, and we got to see the newest Houston Astro in action. Let's overreact to a couple of videos sent out by beat reporters. Paul Galancho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now with more nougat.
You and Lance didn't f- for a year.
That's just because he dabbed all the time.